This is Rocky Mountain Voices, powered by PodTech.
The analogy that I like to use a lot of times with customers is TiVo will allow you generally at most one or two channels. So you can record one or two channels at any given time. What we do is we record all 500 channels. You don't have to be selective about what you want to record.
This is Brad Baldwin from Rocky Mountain Voices, and I'm here today with Steve Schillingford from Solera Networks. Steve is the Worldwide Vice President of Sales. Welcome to the podcast, Steve.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about Solera. What's the market? What's the product? What do you do?
Right. So Solera Networks is really a software and appliance company. What we make is some proprietary software that enables our customer to capture and play back 100% of their network traffic. So we like to use the analogy of TiVo. TiVo sort of did for TV what we hope to do for the network, which is give people a more comprehensive, a more expansive view of what's available to them. And we do that in a way that is very simple to manage, simple to implement, and provides a tremendous amount of value in a number of different areas. We currently sell our solution in the form of an appliance that can be pretty easily implemented into the network. What customers will do, it sort of depends. We have a number of different markets that we sell to, and we have some unique uses. One of the most obvious is to have our appliance recording network traffic over a long period of time. And then what network engineers will do is use that to sort of benchmark performance, look for security holes, and manage performance across their different applications. One of the biggest challenges that network engineers have is someone calls up and says, you know, the network was really slow yesterday around 2 o'clock. And the network engineer goes, well, I don't know what to do there, right? I can sort of stay around at 2 o'clock today and see if I can see something. And so we find that a lot of companies end up doing a lot of correlation of events to try to resolve problems. What our product allows you to do is essentially play back the tape and do your in-depth analysis using whatever tool, you know, your tool of choice, and becomes much easier to identify the problem. Therefore, it's a shorter resolution, time to resolution scenario. And so that in and of itself is a tremendous value add. In other areas, we see our product being used as what we call a network buffer. One of the biggest challenges that people who run intrusion detection systems face is the more detailed and specific an intrusion detection system is in an environment, the more taxing it can be on the environment itself. It's the old Heisenberg principle, I guess, where the more you analyze something, the more you impact the actual event that you're analyzing. So what we try to do is, or what we allow customers to do is play back the entire network traffic to a separate non-production segment, and then apply whatever the monitoring tools, whatever the intrusion detection system application is that you like to run on that playback versus production. And in many cases, customers will speed it up because they know exactly what they're looking for, or they'll slow it down because they're not sure what they're looking for, but they know there's an issue. Our product enables those different playback rates. So we have a comprehensive array of solutions associated with the actual capture and record process. A couple of the things that we like to advertise that makes us different, I guess, is our capture rates. We capture at over 4 gigabits per second.
Wow.
We can actually burst up to 6.5 gigabits per second. We can capture on multiple interfaces. Some of our larger appliances have 10 or more interfaces that we can capture on. And then from a storage component, we actually provide a storage component in the appliance, and right now we can provide up to 240 terabytes of storage, which for some customers could be decades worth of data. For other customers, particularly some in the government business, that could be a couple weeks. We found it's quite an array.
Right.
But we also integrate with other storage vendors with our product as well. via iSCSI or Fiber Channel. So
I'm thinking of the 24 example TiVo here, right?
Right.
I may run out of disk space and only stores season 1, 2, and 3, and then
exactly.
I have to upgrade. TiVo is a good example,
right?
For what you're doing, because I think those of us out in kind of the mainstream have at least had some experience with that DVR kind of technology. So this would allow me to capture all of the network traffic that's coming across in my domain.
Right.
All ports, all everything.
Right. Exactly. And I, it's no coincidence that I'm a big TiVo fan personally, so the company is sort of a natural fit for me. But the analogy that I like to use a lot of times with customers is TiVo will allow you generally at most 1 or 2 channels. So you can record 1 or 2 channels
right.
at any given time. What we do is we record all 500 channels. Okay.
Okay.
And so you don't have to be selective about what you want to record. Now, that doesn't preclude people from saying, I know that I don't want to record a certain set of traffic or a certain set of protocols in my environment. We provide some what we call capture policies. Think of them as filters where you can decide up front that you don't want to capture certain things, or conversely, when you're playing things back to an application for analysis, you can say, you know what, ignore all of this traffic. I'm not going to look at that. So we provide some sophisticated filtering techniques, both on the record and playback side of the equation.
Talk to me about customers. What's the market for this kind
sure.
of technology?
Sure. So our customers probably fall into a couple different categories. I mean, one, we have a significant number of what I would just call sort of your enterprise customer that they're looking for a couple things. One, they're looking for tighter security. They're looking for internet detrusion detection. They really want a more comprehensive view of what's going on in the network. We allow them to sort of look over time in a very comprehensive way at traffic coming from specific IPs, you know, so you can sort of look, is there an abnormal number of, does an IP address have an abnormal number of PDFs going out, or is my FTP server really overactive compared to what's average? And you can look at that over a long period of time, depending on how much you're capturing, to really see the trend.
How many days, weeks, months, years do they keep?
You know, it depends, because many customers have a policy about expressly not keeping some types of data. But I would say that on average, you know, they would keep between 3 and 12 terabytes, which could account for 1 to 6 months. We have a technology in the device itself. It's a cache based on what we call least recently used, or LRU. And essentially what that means is as the storage capacity fills up, we go back to the oldest, what we call slot, which is a time-based record, and we erase that and rewrite over it so that at any given time you'll have a point, you'll have sort of a moving record depending on how much storage you can actually, or how much network traffic you can actually capture in that storage allotment.
So I interrupted you. You talked about enterprise customers.
So enterprise customers, and we're actually finding that small and medium business customers are getting tremendous value out of this because it is an appliance. It simplifies some of their basic security and compliance requirements. We're very easy to implement. Another feature that we think differentiates us from the rest of the market is we are 100% open with all of the applications that people use to do network monitoring, security, forensics, session reconstruction. We have a 100% open platform. We also have APIs that people are leveraging to get deeper level integration. We've got sort of the direct customer market, and then we also have some very interesting OEM relationships with storage and firewall providers. Who
are any of those public?
I have to say probably not.
Okay.
We're in the process of sort of solidifying that, but we think in the next 30 to 60 days we're going to be able to go public with a couple.
I was going to say, from a layman's perspective, just looking at this business, you're trying to store a lot of data, so I would imagine storage vendors would be very interested in your technology.
We're very, absolutely. We're
and they're
very,
appliance-driven
exactly.
kind of companies as well.
And you know, the storage business in and of itself, that market has a very comprehensive archival and sort of tiered approach to the kinds of what's important when you're storing and how fast does the access to certain types of data need to be? And so we're very interested, and we've been working through some partnerships that allow us to basically be the archival engine into those storage platforms and those archive platforms, where in some countries, not the U.S., but in other countries where we're finding some success, namely Japan, we find that their version of Sarbanes-Oxley is much more stringent than in the U.S. And so the need to capture that kind of information is very important, being the network traffic. We're a solution for several companies over there to address this.
What can you tell us about the government? Because it seems to me like this would be, you know, I'm thinking way back to,
sure,
you know, right after 9/11, where any kind of network traffic that could be monitored was a real big thing, and
right,
with voice over IP and everything else that's happening.
Yes, it's an interesting market for us. And what we're finding is there are lots of strategies for what we call lawful intercept, for sort of building in the ability to monitor and potentially tap networks, but not actually doing that. And so we have a couple agencies that we don't talk much about, but they use our product very specifically for compliance. So they monitor traffic, and they use some sophisticated mining and data intelligence to ensure that certain guidelines, certain court orders have been enforced and are continuing to be enforced after sort of the hype of that agency's involvement goes away. And all sort of legal and lawful, but important as part of the enforcement process. We think we offer a number of other agencies that we're talking to an ability to be less selective about protecting not just the assets of our country or any other country for that matter, but also not having to know what you need to be looking for. One of the advantages to our appliance is the ability to basically put it into a network, have it record, and then go back after the fact, decide what it is of interest, and apply whatever the analysis, or in many cases, if you would like to reconstruct events that that took place in the network, i.e., you want to see a browser session that took place from a certain individual or desktop, or because voice over IP happens over the network, you can actually reconstruct a phone call or an instant message or an email. I mean, it's a pretty sophisticated tool. So,
and that seems like it'd be great for compliance officers or compliance,
yes,
managers that are, they're trying to, protect their own seat, so to speak, because they have to.
Exactly. And kind of circling back to your question about customers, today many companies do what we call sort of best guess sampling, where they'll look at a higher level of data and, look for trends, and that's not always indicative of what's going on in the network. Hackers today are becoming very sophisticated about how they scan ports on networks, and in the old days they just blast every port, and today they might scan a port, one port today and another port tomorrow, and it may take a month before they find the hole. And if you're not capturing at a very detailed level, you'd never see that. It would never show up until it was too late. From that perspective, many of the commercial customers that we have use it to augment sort of public company requirements under Sarbanes-Oxley. Many of the financial services have an even more stringent requirement about capturing not just data that resides in databases and applications, but also the data that gets passed between, let's say, the analysts and the investment bankers in a particular financial service company. There's some hard walls there that have been defined, and being able to show that you're compliant there is pretty important.
What about your open environment? You mentioned that. That seems like something that, as we have listeners out there, developers, third parties, I mean, what kind of partners do you guys find yourself attracting, or are natural fits for you?
Sure. So early days of the company, and this is going back a couple years, the thought was that we really needed to provide an application platform to sit on top of the appliance. And I think what the founders decided was that, you know what, there are many, many applications out there that do all kinds of things at that level. And for the company to really play successfully in that marketplace, we needed to be different. And so I think, rightly so, the strategy was really focusing on enabling those applications to become better. So what we did is we created a very robust capture device, and we opened it up, which is really unprecedented. There aren't really, in the competitive landscape, no one else is as open as we are, let alone can they capture as fast and store as much. So what does that mean? That means that there are hundreds, literally hundreds of applications out there in the ISV community, not even looking at the open source community. We contributed one small application, which we call Data Echo, which was simply just an HTTP session reconstructor. So I wanted to see what Brad surfed yesterday, and I was recording it. I can use this application to pull it up. It'll actually show me on my screen what it looked like. There are a number of applications out there that do that, and we work with all of them because we support the files and the integration points that they are all sort of industry standard compliant with. The other aspect of what we're doing on the integration side is we've created a couple APIs or API types around SOAP and REST, which are sort of industry standard. With most customers, they can acquire the data and the deeper level integration using that that technique.
So the interface really is, here's my SOAP.
Exactly.
Access in your end.
Exactly. And we have an XML, feed. So many people want to do sort of sophisticated flow control from a network buffer perspective. So we give them that so that they can build that into their application. What we're really trying to be is an engine for all of these other pieces, which means they can build in the actual devices capture and filtering policies into their console so that it just becomes sort of a piece of their larger footprint.
Right. You're the history. They're the looking glass into the history.
Exactly. Exactly. They're really the dashboard that that makes that data valuable.
I wish you great luck. Seems pretty cool, and I'm happy that I was able to spend some time with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This has been a Rocky Mountain Voices podcast. Visit us on the internet at www.rockymountainvoices.com.